a skate room and a junkyard market. And
I've just started recording so that we can, in case he says anything obscenely. Okay.
So tell me, Mason, did you put enough milk in your tea today, or was it a little bit dark for the taste of...
What's he said? What's he said?
That's the trailing off. Wait, what?
What?
Don't know. Do you find his tea a little bit dark? Like,
what?
This isn't me. Hey. I have nothing to do with this. This is nothing to do with me.
Who wants a milky tea?
No, it's not like milky. But
you're the milkiest
just
boy
have
I know.
A little bit tinge more. Just a tinge.
Oh, shut up. Stop this.
I'm fundamentally happy that this is nothing to do with me.
We can talk about what you said yesterday.
What did I say yesterday? What, that you gave me warm water? Because you gave me
warm
water.
It wasn't warm water.
It was tepid.
Tepid, there's the word.
But my water was lovely, I will say that.
You had a chilies bottle and keep it cold.
No, the chilies bottle keeps it... it's not a chilies bottle anyway. But it keeps it the temperature that you put it in. So it remains tepid the whole day.
I had no problems with your water, and the tea was fine. It was it was a fine cup of tea.
I always get ridiculed for my tea and my water, and hosting skills apparently is never.
No, your hosting skills are adequate and fine. Like, they're good, adequate. That I feel satisfied with your hosting. Like most of
podcasts or just in general.
No, just in general, I am satisfied. I'm having a pleasant experience. Would I add just a tinge more milk to the tea?
Why didn't you say anything?
Well,
at the
I didn't
time.
Want to moan, because that would be a bad guess,
no.
wouldn't it?
Like, no, I would have given you more milk.
This is usually how you just test levels, is you talk about tea or your breakfast or something. Quite how it's turned into
this.
Sorry, I'm worried I'm going to keep bashing the table as well.
It was a little bit like... The tea was a hot colour, I'd like my hot chocolate to be. I could have just done with it a little lighter. I think not milky, it's the right balance. So I'd rather have it less milky than too milky. So you're on the right end of the wrong.
Oh, so actually what you're complaining about is that I actually did right and then wrong. What? This doesn't make sense
anymore.
I'm
just saying you're on the right side of the wrong. I'd rather it was... not too milky, rather than too milky, if you get what I mean. It needs to be tanned. So the best way to tell a cup of tea is the colour of the digestive biscuit, right?
Is it worth reminding people that I'm colourblind at this point, and that this could be true for all I know?
Did you have a cup of tea yesterday?
Yeah, it was nice. It was a cracking cuppa. I said it at the time, so don't act surprised.
No, I was fine with the cup of tea. It was
clearly you weren't. Ollie.
It was an adequate cup of tea. It's just saying, if I had charged it a milk, I might have splooshed a little.
Next time, just say that you want it milky.
No, I didn't want it milky.
You clearly do.
No, I didn't want it milky. I wanted the right balance of milky.
What?
That's all right. I failed to get your attention. Oh, there. I was going to say, what episode number
it is? 36.
36. I was going to say, well, anyway, welcome to 36.
Yeah.
I'm worried that I'm not going to be able to edit out my...
Well,
because that's all I have to do, because I cough and I sniff throughout every recording.
I know, yeah. We only got one microphone this time,
One microphone.
You did the trailing off thing that we're worried about.
I think
you should.
I will say, it is hearing him.
Okay, that's something.
It's hearing me incredibly clearly. I'm worried about if I need to tilt it away from me a little bit. But it looks alright for now.
Yeah, we're in the same room, just so you know.
Yeah, so we don't need to do the synchro clap this time, but.
Shall we anyway?
Just to see if
let's see if we can actually do it.
Skype delay.
2, 1.
Oh, that
beautiful,
spicy,
beautiful. I mean, we peaked the recording, but still. I'm going to keep checking on this microphone because I'm paranoid, but let's just say that it wasn't working and now it is.
Yes. Yeah. I think when did we say we were going to start?
About
12?
45 minutes ago.
12, yeah.
Not 25.
But essentially, 45 minutes. We need to keep an eye on the clock for this.
Yeah.
I can now hear the clock. You mentioned it. I can hear it through it. It's fine. I like you say that as if it's your fault you've gone.
I can turn it off.
It's not. Put it in there. It's. Yeah, all right. Do that. Yeah. Stick it in there. We'll just have to. I'll just have to keep checking my watch for.
I'll keep an eye on the phone.
It's
all of that.
All of that tat on top of the thing. So anyway, yeah, it's just. We're all in the same. Have we ever done it from? We have record. We recorded the pre-pilot in here with the one that.
This is where. This is the room where it happened. this is where we. Yeah, we did a trial run of the. Over just there. Us two, because Ollie was ill.
And we were talking
in 2018, and we were talking about Tomb Raider,
and Top Gear. Wasn't
it? When Matt LeBlanc was on it.
Back in the day.
Which I thought got a lot of stick.
And we recorded in what was my bedroom at the time, which was a porta cabin. Yeah. And we've recorded in Ollie's bedroom. So actually, we've done all three now.
We have.
We've done the trifecta.
Full circle now.
Yeah.
Anyway.
there was a story, right, that we wanted to...
Well, I was going to say, okay. I'm Alex. Hello. I don't know. I'm a little bit off put because there is... We're here for Mason's birthday, which was 2 days ago, 3 days ago.
It was Tuesday, what was that, 5 days ago now?
5 days ago, oh my God, it's time. And you are 27.
Yeah.
So we're here for your birthday.
Don't look it.
For my, fuck off. for your birthday, I, on the advice of our mutual friend Rebecca Joynson, I bought a cushion with Ollie's face on it, which I will probably try and make the thumbnail for this episode.
Oh.
But it's just sitting just in my eye line, and I can't stop looking at it.
It's kind of hypnotic, isn't it?
Yeah. But I'm joined here by the boys and Ollie.
I resemble the boys.
We're all tired out because it's just taken us an hour to fix. Well, it's taken me an hour to somehow get this Zoom working, and frankly.
It was like watching a wizard work.
Do you know what it feels like? And I can make this reference now. You probably won't remember this because it's in the miniseries. In Battlestar, Ty, who's a drunken mess at the beginning, and then like all everything goes to shit, the war starts, and Ty goes, and everyone's like falling apart, and Ty's like, you know what? I've never felt so alive. When I'm fixing audio things, my brain does stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm sat here now like, I can do anything. I need to find a woman.
Give me maidens.
Speaking of, nothing to do with it. This is a tangent entirely. Oh, right. Ollie, you sat down next to me this morning.
The first thing
you said when you walked in is, so, and I might be misquoting here, so, I found the three songs I wrote when I was a child. And I literally looked at you and I went, don't say another word until we've got the microphone working.
So, when I was 16, I channeled my teen angst into three songs.
Of course you did.
Yeah, a little bit of a rap as well.
Oh, so, God.
Yeah. So,
I'm so happy I stopped you telling me. I'm so happy that this is fresh reaction.
Does this mean that you're going to perform these?
No, I'm not going to perform. I'm going to read them to you. So, I've got them. I've got all. So, you guys can choose which one we want to go for. So, I've got a song called...
Which one I want to go for?
I got a song called
Sophie's Choice, isn't it?
I got a song called More, which is a bog standard love song. A song called What's the Point in Dying?
Sweet Jesus.
Oh my God.
Episode title alert.
I swear that's a Smiths song.
That's probably in one? My Smiths phase then. And then this one's called Don't Fall. It's a rap.
It's about you just tripping over things.
So, do you know what my... Do you know what...
That's the music video.
No, it was like... I have my rapper name. I call myself Big O, but like...
Oh, it's so much cringe.
So, it's like... So much cringe. So, I wrote it for my friend at the time, so I call it Don't Fall, a song for Sash featuring Big O, like...
Mason looks actually upset. Look at him.
I'm holding myself. Look at me. I'm holding myself.
So which song would you want me to dissect first? Because I thought we could analyse my 16-year-old self.
I think we're going to have to do all of them.
Right, okay. So, for Bogo Standard Love Song, let's start with that. Right, let's start easy.
What was it called again? I've already forgotten.
This one's called More.
Of course.
Okay, I'm not going to sing it. I'm just going to like speak the...
Shall I do a dramatic reading of it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah. Okay.
So,
if you can get through.
Oh my God, Ollie, this is so.
They're really. Oh my God. That's the point. Okay, I had no concept of length with songs. They're really fucking long.
Look at this. It's like you've handed me the Magna Carta. Oh my God.
Is this
right.
a meatloaf ballad?
It's a ballad. It's a ballad.
He is the Jim Steinman of his generation.
Yeah.
More.
By Oliver Jones. By Big O.
By Big O. Hello, my friend. I know it's been years, but I have something I need to say. Maybe it sounds kind of crazy. We've been here so long, but it's hard to move on. What? Oh my Jesus!
I'm going to.
I've just seen what the look is. Maybe it sounds crazy. We've been here so long, but it's hard to move on. One little question: can we be more? Chorus, yeah.
You have to emphasize the. It's like, can we be more? That's the sort of thing I think I was aiming for.
If I'm peeking throughout this, I apologize, but it is genuine joy that is.
Yeah.
Chorus. Yeah,
this came
I've
up
waited.
On my memories and my timeline, and I thought, oh my God.
Wait, whoa, hang on. So you posted these?
So when I was 16, I actually asked people, would you like me to share the lyrics and can I get their opinions on their lyrics? So I literally used to share these out to people for opinions and feedback.
And I need to tell you, Mason, that was the first verse.
That was the first
there
verse.
There are three verses and the chorus.
I'm already in pain.
Chorus. Yeah, I've waited too long, my friend. I know it's not right. But the way I feel is so... You've rhymed right with right, Ollie. That's not good.
This is just...
Look, I know...
You being horny. What is
basically,
it?
Basically, yeah. 16, all right? Like,
and you want 16, more.
17.
You just want more, don't
this
you?
This is like the summer before college. This is like that sort of...
Oh, my God.
This is Ollie 2010.
Oh.
So anyway...
2011, 2010.
Yeah, I've waited too long, my friend. I know it's not right. But the way I feel, it's so right. Can I be your sunrise? Can you be my star? Can we just be more? More, oh more, oh more. Verse 2.
Give me more.
Verse 2. What's more the point in love if you can't share it? I know it's hard. I beg your pardon. I know it's hard, dirty boy. And I know it's tough, but I gotta get this off my chest. You're the only one I want to hold. Can we be
more.
Chorus. I won't do the chorus again. Okay. Verse 3. I know you can't tell, and I know I deny it, but my heart is breaking inside. You did put mine, but I've added that. If only you can see what I feel. Please, oh please. I don't want to overcomplicate the situation.
I don't know whether I want to hug me or kill
me. I won't lose you, and I just got to move on, but I still ask the question, can we... ever be more, chorus, end, written by Ollie George.
Just want to say, if it wasn't clear enough, Ollie has willingly given this to us.
We haven't pushed him to do this.
I just thought I need to rip this apart because I looked at these and I was like thinking,
I cannot stop staring. I keep looking at the Zoom because I'm like, if this is not recording, I'm actually probably going to jump off a tower. Right, so the second one is, what's the point in dying, yes?
Yes, yeah.
So, do you want to give a premise to this one, or should I just go straight
in? I can't really remember it, to be honest. It was probably me.
I just looked at it as well.
I think it might be a bit of a rap. I can't remember.
So, what's the point in dying? Brackets, spoken. We only get one life. Is it worth sacrificing? Oh my God! Is this a political thing, Ollie? Oh my God, it is!
Oh my God.
Is this about the Iraq War?
It might have been about war, yeah.
I've just read further on.
I don't know what noise just came out of my mouth.
Oh my God. This is borderline. There is a song by the Manic Street Preachers called Imperial Body Bags. This is almost the same lyrical content.
Really?
I swear to God.
I didn't.
There's for those wondering, there's a bike meet happening around the corner. So the reason you keep hearing engines in the background. We are definitely recording. I'm like, this is...
Don't worry. It'll be fine.
What's the point in dying?
Dying.
We only get one life. Is it worth sacrificing for a country, for a home, for love? Chorus. What's the point in dying? Tell me. What's the point in dying? Do you fight for the ones that you love, or do you fight for someone else? What? You have never met. Is there any point in the sacrifice? Tell me, what's the point in dying? What's the point in dying? That's the chorus that I was doing there. Verse 1. Wait, this is verse 1?
Imagine it were...
You're a soldier fighting a battle, but is it right? Are you a knight coming coming from the light. Tell me, is it right? Is it right? Again, you've rhymed
yeah,
right with right.
Yeah, right
again.
With right here, yeah.
Who does that again? Is it Pitbull?
Might be, yeah. I might have been...
He rhymes like Kodak with Kodak.
Like, my music that? I was listening to at this point was all chart shit from the 2010s.
Okay? Oh, yeah, so like now Pitbull, you're much more like deserving. Pitbull,
so it's probably...
You don't listen to chart stuff. I'm worried that I'm peaking every time I laugh. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the recording, but I'm not throwing this away. Even if it sounds like anus, I'm not throwing this away. I'm sorry. Right, where was I?
Are we halfway through?
We're on verse one. We haven't even done verse one
yet. Oh my God.
You're a soldier fighting a battle, but is it right? Are you a knight coming from the light? Tell me, is it right? Is it right? You don't know me. You have so much to live on. So tell me, and then chorus, what's the point in dying, etc., etc. Verse two, Miss Beauty Queen. It's so obscene. You're fading. You must have been proud of that, right?
Oh my God.
You're fading away, and it makes me sick. You're beautiful. So why can't you accept being just
this
the
is
way
it.
You are?
I was trying to tell three different stories. That was it.
Is this like Stole by... what's she called? The one from Destiny's Child. You ever seen that one? It's about the three kids that go to the school and then there's a school shooting.
Mary has
the same size hands as Marilyn Monroe. That one.
Yeah, that was
it. I don't know if her name is Mary. I can't remember.
It was one of those types of songs, basically.
She called? Like... Kelly Rowland.
Yeah.
Kelly Rowland is the name. Yeah. I think it's Kelly Rowland that did that. It wasn't Michelle, the other one.
Yeah.
And it wasn't Beyonce.
Definitely wasn't.
Miss Beauty Queen, so obscene. You're fading away, and it makes me sick. You're beautiful. So why can't you accept being just the way you are? What's the point in the sacrifice? Tell me, chorus.
What's the point in dying?
My love, what are you doing to me? Don't go away, please. You mean everything to me. Not them. They don't know you exist. You're breaking my heart. Wrong you're, but I'll let you off. Hero, why are you so selfish? Tell me. Chorus with this Alice, please stay safe for me, my guardian angel. Oh my goodness, this is. Oh, I can't believe. I'm so. When he said it, when he said this morning, I was like, no, you do not tell me about this until we've got a microphone on. So the last one, don't fall. Yeah.
Don't fall. This is the rap.
Okay, this one isn't
very long. Should I read this one?
I've already read it at this point.
I think Alex's readings are pretty spot on.
Probably, yeah. Okay.
Don't fall. Sash feet big O. I'm glad you specified which bit needs to be wrapped. Thank you.
Yeah, I specified.
Chorus. Winds carry me away. I don't want to fall down. Make me somebody. Don't let me fall. Wrapped. What the... Oliver George, what is this?
Oh, God. I don't know.
I apologise for all involved with what's about to happen.
Does it have to happen?
I'm in a nightmare last night. In a dragon's lair, yeah? You were a damsel and I was a knight. And I know it was fantasy, but believe me when I tell you...
What?
I've been through the ringer. Hopefully one day, maybe you'll be that knight coming from the light. You said that in the episode.
I said that in the episode.
Okay.
To fight for the right to say that I'm a man. And I don't give a damn. Because this world knocks down, people try to crucify you for what is believed to be unnatural. I don't even know what that means. Well, I'll tell you the actual truth so they can kiss my ass. I won't be falling down no more. Chorus sung. I'm in a world that's like the wind. Sometimes it goes against you, but you got to remember to never back down. I promise I won't let you... I won't fall down again. My friend told me a story about his broken heart. See, life's like a fire. It blazes, then it's an ember. End.
That's it?
That's how it ends.
And then there's a chorus again, obviously.
And then there's the chorus again.
And then he's... Okay.
You didn't write that, though. I was following my stage directions. I need a drink after that.
I think I had a Rocky one as well that was, like, proper, like... I can't remember. It was like...
People try to crucify you for what is believed to be unnatural. Okay.
What? Let's analyse these lists.
Right, analyse them.
So you want to be a knight in shining armour, clearly.
Yeah.
But for a righteous cause, not for an illegal war in the desert for oil.
Yes.
But also, you would like a knight to come and save you. That's what I've taken from that last one.
Yeah. Crucify you for what is believed to be unnatural.
I just want to point out that I wasn't I hung out with a lot of like the emo sort of gothy crowd, but I wasn't really...
You do strike me as that, yeah.
I wasn't in that. I wasn't like, I didn't dress like that, if you know what I mean. I had floppy hair at the time.
Let me.
Did you?
Okay.
Yeah, I had long. I've only seen.
Did you?
Yeah, I had a fringe.
That's why I keep doing this. Did
you? If you pass me your phone, I'll show you.
That's a great reaction. It's like a soundboard.
This might be another pillow in the future, I can't imagine.
Oh my goodness gracious.
That's sure coming soon.
I've seen you with really spiky hair.
I've seen the really spiky hair.
Like a half a tub of.
Can I just read the first verse of that song I said, Imperial Body Bags by the Manic Street Preachers? And yours, it goes, Imperial Body Bags coming home in dribs and drabs. Life is numbers with doggy tags filled with holes, they're coming back. Never, so come up, come on in the sky. Never had a chance, blah, 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 blah. They've misspelled hypocrisy there, Manics. Just say, there's a bit about a beauty queen, though. Oh, Imperial Body Bags, prom queen disposable, children wrapped in homemade flags. Imperial Body Bags from prom queen disposable, children wrapped in homemade flags. That's basically what you were singing.
Yeah,
that's basically the same song.
Mm. But
that was a B-side, Mason.
This is the broken boy that wrote those songs.
Like, oh, I've seen this picture before.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that doesn't.
There's a picture of me that looks remarkably like that.
You said like floppy hair.
Let's just keep.
You just have Donkey and Woody.
Oh, that was a thing for like, say, what animated character you were like, and I thought. Oh,
is that you Donkey on the toilet?
Okay. Yeah, there's something on the top.
And that's a pixelated.
That's from the Berlin thing, but like.
No, it's before digital aerials look.
Yeah. Oh my god!
Right, we've got to stop just going through.
Yeah, because this is.
Yeah, although we're analysing.
We're just looking at Ollie's profile pictures on Facebook now. They go back quite some time.
The break that went in after that part. The bat, bat it.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway.
Anyway.
pop culture.
Films, Ollie.
You've films.
Shall I say a couple of... Because I can do it very quickly.
Oh, yeah?
So, I watched Spider-Man Far From Home. It's alright. It's alright. It just felt like an epilogue to
Endgame.
I just sort of... I was like, okay, that's cool. But it just felt like that 19 years later bit in Harry Potter to me.
Yeah.
It was like, and then this happened. And I'm like, I know Ollie's going to disagree, but it's just it felt like Endgame, as the name would sort of suggest, was such a... point, such a dead end, not dead end, but a stop point.
Finale.
But like, as in, it was the arc. The arc finished there.
Yeah, yeah.
More arcs going to happen later, blah, blah, blah. Obviously, they will happen. They've got 50 billion fucking things coming out. And we're already sort of balls deep in this phase at this stage, after WandaVision and Captain Falcon, whatever it's called. What was it? Falcon and the Winter Soldier to Captain Falcon.
It could have been called that. But yeah.
Fine. Fun. Zendaya and Tom Holland were fun in it, and his mate, I can't remember the actor who plays him.
Jacob Batalon.
Yeah, he's a lot of fun. Yeah, it was all right. I like the fact that they did the joke about the fact that people think London Bridge is Tower Bridge is London Bridge.
Yeah.
Which I enjoyed.
What did you think of Gyllenhaal's Mysterio?
I liked him. I like Mysterio. Mysterio is one of my favourite villains from from when I used to play the PS1 games. And I like him in the same way I like Scarecrow outside of Arkham Knight. I don't like Scarecrow in Arkham Knight, but I like Scarecrow in Arkham Asylum, where it's just entirely just showmanship. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's just being just being a dick.
Yeah.
And it's the same with Mysterio, you know.
Hmm.
It was all right.
Yeah, they're good fun. I think the Spider-Man ones. I think Homecoming's a bit better.
Yeah, I prefer Homecoming, but I feel like Mysterio's probably the best... comic to page to screen adaptation of a Spider-Man villain in terms of, the best villain in a Spider-Man movie has been Alfred Molina's Doc Ock. In terms of like accuracy from page to,
I think he's probably the best Marvel villain. He's a Marvel villain I've actually liked, because Marvel have this thing, to get on a sort of slightly political high horse, they have this thing of having someone who is actually right, because it's usually some kind of anti-capitalist or anti...
Yeah.
You know, like Batman in Black Panther, where actually the point he's making is entirely right.
Yeah.
Like all of the points
he's making. Then they have him
killing
far,
someone.
Yeah.
They'll go, he is right, but then he has done a murder, therefore he is bad.
Yeah.
They do the same thing in Falcon and the Winter Soldier with the villains and that. Like, they're like, oh, your point is making you were right, but you're going
to wait. Oh, now he's done a shooting, so we'll have to just go back to the norm. Whereas at least in Black Panther, he does make that point where he goes, you were all wrong to abandon the world.
Yeah.
And that's why I like that he ends up, although the fact that people say that the bad guy was convinced him, when actually, I've forgotten. Okay,
Letitia Wright.
Not Letitia Wright. Lupita.
Oh.
Her character.
Nakia, yeah.
Yeah, is that it? Who is making that point from the beginning and is actually actively going out and trying to help in the world? Realistically, it's her that made the change. And actually, to be fair, even the Black Panther, T'Challa says that at some point. Like when they're in that one set that they've got of Wakanda.
Yeah, yeah.
Which just looks like sort of, I don't know, it looks like Tower Hamlets or something. It's like, it doesn't, like all this beautiful sort of modern city, and it's like, and anyway, we've just found a sort of side street. But yeah, at least it didn't have that about it. It was a dick. It was wanted revenge and wanted to get money. I can't remember what he wanted, but he was just a bad guy, you know. Whereas, you know, so he was a better villain. Like that, my favourite villain before that was Hela. Is that her name? Hela. Just because I enjoyed Kate Blanchett's interpretation of it, because it's just mad.
Yeah.
It's all right. It's fine. I probably won't watch it again. First one I watched a few times. I thoroughly enjoyed. And actually really enjoyed him in the bad guy in that. I enjoyed Michael Keaton in that.
Oh, yeah.
But the other thing I watched was Overlords, which at one point was touted to be among this ridiculous sort of array of Cloverfield films, but isn't, and actually is better for it. It's like 10 Cloverfield Lane. I'd like to see 10 Cloverfield Lane not attached to Cloverfield, because actually the parts where it's attached to Cloverfield are rubbish. But the rest of the film is fantastic.
They also like do a different sort of like monster design. Is that why?
Yeah.
If you're connecting it to it, why just?
And then it comes back again in Cloverfield Paradox. If you've not watched that, do not watch it. It's garbage.
It's such a downward spiral of things that happen in that. But
Overlord, a lot of fun. Makes a few of the usual Hollywood mistakes about D-Day. But that's fine, because actually it's just a lot of fun. There's one character that's really annoying in it, but actually he's a bit endearing towards the end. The premise being they go to the part of the 101st Airborne. So it's actually, there's like links to Band of Brothers in it, because they all train in the same area. They're not from Easy Company, but they do the thing where the sergeant zhuzhes them up. What's it? Growls them up. And then they go, Kurahi! Like in the mountain, isn't it, in Band of Brothers? They run up Kurahi Mountain. That's their war cry. It's Kurahi! But they go to a village to ostensibly take down a radio mast, and then they discover that, Nazi shenanigans are happening in there. And it's gory. It's obviously not real, but it's a lot of fun. I enjoyed it.
I need to check it out. It sounds really cool.
I watched it while stuck on a train.
Yeah.
So So I came down to Mason's house. Eventually, I got on a train from Alfreton in Derbyshire, I should say. I travelled so many counties. And then a train broke down in front of us in a place called... it broke down in a place called March. And I was stuck in a place called Whittlesea for 3.5 hours, maybe more.
Probably more. I would say 4.
Basically, my journey from... So I left Alfreton at 5 past 5 in the afternoon, the evening. And I arrived in Norwich at 1:15, 1:20.
1:20, and you should have been there at 1:20.
Should have been there at 1:20. So that's a full 5 hours later than I was supposed to. Yeah. So the actual, I probably was in Whittlesea for 5 hours.
About 5 hours.
Wait, so it was about an 8-hour journey then?
Yeah.
I could have gone to Florida. But So I sat and watched Overlord on the platform in its entirety. No, did I watch Overlord afterwards? I finished watching Spider-Man on the platform. And I did watch Overlord while I was sat on the platform as well. Yeah. So, Whittlesea had an unofficial cinema for a bit, which was just me on my
tablet. Excellent environment to watch films.
Well, I enjoyed them. Just the way it was better than like... It was fine. I don't think that was detrimental to them. Because I didn't... Like I said, I didn't not enjoy Spider-Man. I don't think I would have... If I was watching it I was craving escapism at that point. So actually, it was probably a better example.
Yeah, that's true.
Which Overlord delivered, because I was in it. I watched it start to finish without any interruptions.
Good.
Largely because the frigging train didn't move. I must have watched it afterwards because I was walking around up and down the platform. A lot of it is a bit of a mess in my brain, to be honest.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you're from Whittlesea and you listen, I was in your in your tiny little station for a long time. It's in Cambridgeshire, and it's not by the sea, so it's a misleading name. But yeah, those are the films I've watched recently.
Yeah, I've seen several, so I'll talk briefly into as much as I can. So The Mitchells vs. the Machines on Netflix.
Yes.
It's a Sony animation film that was sold to Netflix to view. It's by the same animation team, a lot of the same animation team that did Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. So coming off the success of that, they were sort of invigorated to keep pushing that sort of type of animation and really go for it. And they do that and then some with The Mitchells vs. the Machines. Like they blend 2D, 3D, and they have a really heartwarming story in it. It's visually amazing. It's funny as hell.
Yeah,
it's just brilliant. The writing's great. It's produced by Phil Lord and Chris Miller, who are animation gods at this point. But it's directed by the same guy that produced the Gravity Falls series, which so there's a lot of that aesthetic into it. It's just a brilliant. It's basically the premise is a family. A father and a daughter, they have a sort of strange relationship. And on their way to college, suddenly the world is invaded by robots, controlled by an AI that's voiced by Olivia Colman, who is brilliant in the film.
Yeah.
And then hilarity ensues, and they're the only family that can save the world, essentially. So.
Is it directed by Lord and Miller?
No, it's directed by the Gravity Falls guy, but it's produced by them.
Okay.
So a lot of the animation team carried, like a lot of the people that were working on Spider-Verse, like Nick Kondo and people like that, they carried over into the...
Did Justin Roiland have something to do with Gravity Falls, or am I making connections there?
Not sure.
Or is Justin Roiland worked with someone who then went on to do Gravity Falls? Or am I being stupid? Or is the Gravity Falls guy the one that worked on Johnny Bravo? You know what? Carry on.
So yeah, it's my favourite film of the year so far. So I just want to say, like, go watch it. It's just hilarious and one of the best, some of the best running gags ever. So, like,
I will get around to it.
Yeah.
Like everything that you recommend us. But yeah.
Another film I loved. It was just a really easy... This is another easy watch. It's just... It's got that sort of old school Amblin sort of Spielberg-y sort of feel to it. Love and Monsters, starring Dylan O'Brien. And it's basically sort of set in a world where...
Was he the Percy Jackson kid?
No, that's Logan Lerman.
Okay.
He was a Maze Runner kid.
They all look the same to me.
Dylan was the Maze Runner kid.
I've lost track of what the hell was going on.
Dylan was known for Maze Runner and Teen Wolf. Those were his... Teen Wolf, yeah.
Did they bring that back?
They did briefly, didn't they? Yeah, they did a really successful CW.
Oh, was it really successful?
It's got a big old fan base to it. Like, if you look on
CW shows seem to be its way, but then you watch them and it's like supernatural.
You know, like how it's fan base. Like,
only just finished.
Yeah, that only just
and that's
finished.
Been going for.
But
over a
Dylan O'Brien, I think he's fantastic. He should have been Spider-Man. He would have been perfect for it. As soon as I've seen that,
not a fan of Tom Holland.
No, I love Tom Holland. I think he's fantastic. But Dylan O'Brien would have been perfect. But anyway, that's a side point. So in Love and Monsters, it's set in a world where everyone's sort of like living in underground bunkers because of radiation. Animals have all sort of become like giant versions of themselves.
So mutations.
Like mutations of like cockroaches and dogs and things like that.
It got nominated.
So he ventures out to see a girlfriend that was split into another underground bunker, so he journeys out on his own, but he's a bit of a coward and stuff like that. So I'm not selling this film very well because it sounds very basic.
It just sounds like Fallout, so it's literally my cup of tea.
Like, it's not the most original, but it's so charming. Michael Rooker shows up as like the
great already. There we go.
Wandering guy who's like an expert, and he sort of teaches him like a thing. And there's like little, it's quite episodic. Like it, has little vignettes and stories and like that.
Is it a film or is it a series?
It's a film. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, and it stars Dylan O'Brien, Jessica Henwick, and Michael Rooker.
Jessica Henwick.
She was in Game of
Thrones. She's the pilot in Star Wars. She's the X-wing pilot.
Isn't she? I believe she might have been. I don't know.
I know the name. She was one of the daughters in.
I'm
sure she's one of the X-Wing pilots in Force Awakens that then just didn't come back.
It's possible. But yeah, no, she's really good in it.
I'm googling to check.
But the effects are really good.
Like, I was going to say it
got nominated for an Oscar for visual.
Oh, you
effects.
Said that. Yeah,
it blends practical and CGI and stuff like that.
I didn't know they did practical.
All the creature designs are really good, and it's an original film as well.
Sorry, bless you.
And it's an original film; it's not based on a book or anything like that. So it's
I've definitely seen a trailer, and I was like,
Also, it has one of the best film dogs ever.
Like, film dogs.
Yeah, he travels around with a dog.
Excellent pilot. Told you.
He was right.
He travels with a dog called Boy, and the dog is mm-hmm. good. So, yeah. Anyway, watch that film. It's a really lovely.
The dog faced boy. Sorry.
Oh, and I've been back to the cinema, so I've seen two films. But yeah. Am I allowed to talk about them?
Well, yeah, if you want to.
Okay. So.
Oh, I can know why. I know why.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
okay. Okay, yeah, I'll go briefly into this. So, my first film back to the cinema was a really good experience. I went to see Godzilla vs. Kong.
There we go. That's why I was... Yeah.
Okay, so you know how Martin Scorsese once described Marvel films as theme park rides?
Yeah.
This film is literally a theme park ride waiting to happen.
You know how people said that about Godzilla King of the Monsters? And about how, it might be rubbish, but it's got big monsters inching each other in it. But actually, fuck that, because it was great.
Yeah.
It was actually great, and I loved it.
This is a lot, if you enjoy
it. Is this more along the lines of it's just monsters fighting
each other?
It's more along
the lines of that. It's good. It's fun. It's just like, the human characters are there along for the ride. And there's literally a vehicle in the film.
Yeah.
Where the humans are riding along with the thing, and I was like thinking this would make a good ride for like Star Tours type ride.
The thing I've got is that people like Movie Bar. I'm not calling anybody out. We're not big enough for that. But Movie Bar, people like that who are all like the fact that there was critics that was like it's just monsters fighting, and then people going yeah that's the point when it isn't. It was a good film.
Yeah.
I stand by Godzilla King of the Monsters. Yeah.
And it helped seeing it on the big screen the best sound.
Well, I didn't, but I wish I had.
You still enjoyed it.
Yeah. I loved it every second.
And I've seen it since on the TV behind me right now, and it's still.
Yeah, Ben McCreary's score just was phenomenal. The actors who knew what film they were in, so Charles Dance, Ken Watanabe, who. That whole sequence, I was like, how is this so emotional in a film about a giant lizard punching. punching a three-headed demon.
Yeah.
But the scene where they recharge him, and it's the original music from the original the Toho stuff.
Yeah.
I was there going, oh my, this is so good. I think it was early lockdown I watched it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is the best thing that's happened all year.
Yeah.
But is this more along the lines of it is just monsters hitting each other?
I mean,
which is fine in itself. There is space for that.
It's not don't go into the world building is great in it. Like in terms of like what they do.
I feel like there's a butt coming in.
No,
butt.
I enjoyed it. I literally come out of the film with a big old fat grin on my face because it was great to just be back in the cinema.
I will say I did that. That's how I ended.
Yeah,
The King of the Monsters, where he's stood in the surrounding and it just goes,
yeah.
And then it does. I mean, I know you didn't like it, but it did that cover of Godzilla by Blue Oyster Cult. I was like, oh my god,
There is a human character that is really good that has a connection with King Kong, in it, and that's basically, and no, I won't go into it because I don't want to ruin the film for you, but that connection I really liked, and it was really well performed and really well acted. Scored by Junkie XL is really good. He does a really good
score. Yeah, he's doing some good scores.
And the action, the special effects team behind it pulled their job off. It was really a really good, entertaining
Dirty
watch. So it is literally narratively as entertaining as a theme park ride in terms of that. But don't go into it expecting.
Is it in the same way that I have a, for some reason. I guess it's a birth defect, but I have a high tolerance for Roland Emmerich films.
Yeah.
Even though I fully admit they are trash.
Yeah.
But like 2012 is trash. Yeah. But if it is on a telly, like if I go to my dad's house and it's on, I will sit and watch it. Yeah. Because it is like a roller coaster ride. Yeah. It's like, oh, they're blowing up LA. Cool, quick.
Yeah. So I will happily sit and watch this film like any time. Like, okay. Yeah. So, without going into that, because I want you guys to go and
watch this.
Yes.
At some point.
I can't wait.
Second film I saw was a lot more poignant. Judas and the Black Messiah. Starring Daniel Kaluuya and Keith Stanfield and Jesse Plemons. It's about Fred Hampton, the Chicago Black Panther leader.
He was murdered, wasn't he?
He was murdered. And it's basically about the double agent played by Lakeith Stanfield, who's enforced by the FBI to give secrets on the Black Panther Party and the movement and stuff like that. Lakeith Stanfield and Daniel Kaluuya are absolutely fantastic in the film. Both were deserving of Academy Awards, if I'm frank. Daniel Kaluuya obviously won. The poignancy of the film comes from a lot of the end when they mention the age of what the actual people were and stuff like that. I had little to no complaints about the film. It's
does it have any other stuff about, because I think the reason why I know about, I've already forgotten his name now, I said it, I should, what is he called?
You want about Keith Stanfield?
The leader of the Black
Fred Hampton.
Fred Hampton. I think his mum babysat or looked after Emmett Till, the young lad who was murdered, who was lynched. I think it was one of those facts that they put out there, is like everything was connected, and how horrendous, I say was, there's still a lot of it about, but sort of, it's like that Watchmen, where it did the Tulsa race massacre in that, and it's all the sort of stuff that's within living memory that's just horrible that has happened. And okay, that is definitely one I will. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, really worth checking
out. Nice.
Cool.
I have seen. Did you guys watch Promising Young Woman?
No, I've been meaning to.
No, because since we last recorded, the Oscars happened, and only then.
Well, the Baptist happened during the last recording.
Yes, that was it. And then I think the Oscars happened about 2 weeks after that, and then only just the things that have been nominated for Best Film, Best Picture, have slowly been coming out.
Yeah,
and cinemas reopened earlier this month, so. Only eventually been able to see a few things that were nominated or talked about, and people probably already forgotten about them already. But I did watch Promising Young Woman on Now TV. I can stop thinking about it for a long time. Even though it was the only one that I watched by the time the Oscars came out, it was very good. Like a dark comedy thriller with Carey Mulligan.
I'm glad she's getting a lot more.
Well, yeah, this is the thing. This film is produced by, I think, Margot Robbie's production company. Oh, okay. And for a long time, apparently, other producers wanted her in the lead role.
Margot Robbie?
Yeah, but the director, Emerald Fennell, British director, first-time director as well, and she wrote it. She worked on, Killing Eve and The Crown.
Oh, yes.
She played... Well, I think she's
an actor in The Crown.
I haven't watched her. She plays Camilla, right?
Crown, yeah.
Plays Camilla in The Crown. So she does a bit of acting
as
well. Yes,
right. Okay. Yes, I know exactly who that is.
Called The Midwife, I have written down here as well. I don't know if that's acting or writing, because she wrote. Yeah, she was showrunner on Series 2 of Killing Eve.
Yes, I do. I do. That was it. I know exactly who you're talking about now.
But yeah, it's about a woman seeking revenge after her best friend was sexually abused and as a result committed suicide. And so Carrie, to avenge her, sort of pretends to be drunk at bars to then lure guys home when they're stone cold sober, and then just put the fear, take the living daylights out of them. Just what are you doing? And then... Yeah, it's just it's so well written. It's very funny in places as well. It's a satire. It's with the whole Me Too movement and everything, and it's got a pop soundtrack. It's very, how would I describe it? Similar to almost Drive, which Carrie was in.
Yes, she was. Yes.
But the comedy, the dark comedy just And who else was in it?
There
was
Bo Burnham's in it.
Bo Burnham was in it. Laverne Cox, Jennifer Coolidge, and Clancy Brown play her parents.
That's one of those weird times where you read out a cast and I know every single person in it. That was weird. Jennifer Coolidge is Stifler's mum, famously.
Clancy Brown has been.
Clancy Brown is just almost a god.
Yeah.
Famously, Mr. Krabs from SpongeBob.
Yeah. Alison Brie plays one of her uni course mates, and she takes revenge on her as well because it was. It just unravels
I definitely want to check it out.
And a very satisfying ending. Yes. Quite ambiguous ending as well. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. But
that's alright.
It's just I just couldn't stop thinking about it. It was really, really good fun. I'm glad Carrie got the lead. It's completely different from anything else she's done. We talked about The Dig earlier this year. Mm. And that's just like so I think she's almost sort of typecast in roles like that.
Yeah.
Especially British films where this is just completely different and just shows her range. And she does like American accent, really good American accent, and then just this dark.
I was always worried after she was in Gatsby, really, wasn't she?
Yeah.
I was worried because I watched that. I watched that. I watched that. I was always worried. I was like, oh no, Carrie is in bad films.
Mm.
But she's not. She's been in. Because I then watched Drive, which is great.
Yes. And she's Drive is great.
Cool.
Cracking. And did you talk about Sound of Metal last podcast?
I might remember. Not have I got around to it. I'm not sure.
I might be wrong though. Maybe not. Mm. Go into it.
I'll just really go into it. That was on Amazon Prime. Riz Ahmed plays a drummer who starts to lose his hearing, and it's him coming to terms with that. How is he? It's basically a story of desperation and identity, and when you've got everything and something is taken away, just you either adapt or you just crumble, I guess. You just become so desperate to try and get back what you can't. It's really...
It's really good. I found the second act to be a bit rushed, to be honest, in places. I felt it was a bit jarring in terms of some of his character movements and stuff like that.
Because he's in a band with his girlfriend, played by Olivia Cooke, from Ready Player One fame.
With her disturbing facial scarring, which makes her ugly. Am I right, Stephen?
God.
Am I right?
But is that Stephen, or is that...
Ernest. Is that right, Ernest? You piece of shit. Ready Player 2.
And he is taken into a deaf community.
Yeah.
And that was just beautiful how they're communicating with sign language. He's slowly learning and he's becoming accepted into it. And then, something happens where he basically makes a wrong choice and... That sort of ends quite ambiguously as well.
But I like the ending. It's great.
Let's not ruin the ending.
No, I won't ruin it. I won't ruin the ending. It's just... you do just feel for the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good watch. But at that point, Promising Young Woman was still like...
Yeah.
I like what they're doing with the cinema showings of Sound of Metal in that they're showing it with subtitles all the time.
Oh, are
so
they?
Deaf and... normal audiences can sort of experience it the same way.
He doesn't mean normal. He's just being an idiot. Yeah.
Sorry.
God.
Just as a disclaimer.
Quickly move on.
Yeah.
And then I...
Apologies.
For my birthday, I went to the cinema.
Oh, yeah.
And watched Nomadland, which did win Best Film and Best Picture at BAFTAs and Oscars, I think. Which I don't think it usually works. Usually they're they're different.
Mm.
I know Ollie might. He's looking at his phone.
So. No, I was just looking to my
outfit. That was really powerful, almost documentary like, directed by Chloe Zhao. No, written. Got it written down here.
She did a lot of it. She did
directed, written, produced, and edited.
Yeah.
By Chloe Zhao.
Wow.
Based on a book. I didn't know it was based on a book to the end, but it's essentially Frances McDormand plays a widowed woman who I can't remember her hometown. Basically, the main sort of line of work, the factory work there closed down that her husband was working at. Her husband died. They were both working at it. And also that zip code, that area, just completely shut down. So she chose to become a van dweller and just go from job to job around the American West. And then she slowly wovened into this modern day nomad community. And they're literally just her, and I forget the name of her sort of, not really love interest, but the guy she really connects with while she's going through this community and across the West. They're the only actors that I recognised. And then everyone else, because it's everyone's playing it so naturally, and then you read the credits at the end, they've all got the same names. Actual nomads. And that's why it gave this raw,
fair enough,
genuine documentary feel. And it's just how it comes to terms with, well, it's also set during the Great Recession. That's why all these
2008.
That's why all these people are living on the road now, or in their older generation, just living on the land, going from job to job, sharing their stories and their griefs. Everyone's really, they just open up. Yeah. And then when you realise these are actual people, like, that's all genuine, and it's just, it's beautiful. It's a really good film. I think you guys,
cool,
eventually, if you can, check it out. It is uplifting as well. It's just, it makes you appreciate what you've got.
Mm-hmm.
One of those films. So that's, That's the films. That's the films. Wasn't it like a... Yeah.
TV.
Oh, God.
I can do TV.
Television. Television. Chocovision. You've got Chocovision recommended on your YouTube.
Oh, yeah. Why wouldn't I?
Well, guess what? I finished.
Shall we? Shall we do it? Shall we? Hang on. Hey Ollie, what have you finished very recently? And that cost me money.
Yeah, I watched Battlestar Galactica. I did.
Yeah. So I guess we could all talk about it now because we've all seen it.
We have. This is a weird.
It's a
moment.
Yeah.
You've probably dreamt about this, Alex.
And I've dreamt about the parts where you watched it.
After today, we'll probably never talk about it ever again.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Do you want a fucking bet?
I mean, we know what goes on with your bets. They don't end well, do they?
Yeah, so. I had a good Nando's yesterday. Should have got a cheesecake in there as well.
You got a free cheesecake.
No, I did have a free cheesecake.
So what are you talking about?
No, but like, I was like thinking, maybe I could have got.
So the bet was that before Mason's birthday, if Ollie fixes, that's basically because I thought I could get me and Mason a nice free meal out of it. But if Ollie didn't finish the 2003 reboot of Battlestar Galactica, as run by Ronald D. Moore, by the time it was Mason's birthday, then he would buy us dinner. And if he did finish it, I would buy him dinner. And you finished it last week? Last week. So, we've all watched it.
We have.
You don't want to ever talk about it again.
No, I liked it. Definitely things I would rewatch in it.
Yeah. But that's the thing. I didn't want to watch it because I think it's perfect. I wanted to watch it because actually I'm not able to talk about.
Yeah, you not for a long time.
Oh, you mean like only one of you guys to talk about Avatar for like the
last? I'll probably never watch that, I'm not going to lie.
It's so much better.
Oh.
The voices are more annoying, I will say that.
Okay, okay, Ollie.
Go on then.
You have to start.
Should we start off from the beginning? Because you watched the miniseries, whereas Mason didn't. You didn't feel the need to, which I could understand.
Well, we watched it at yours. We watched it a few years ago. Yeah.
So I watched the miniseries. So my opinions again on that haven't really changed on that at all. Like,
so, miniseries. Well, I don't even. Did we review that before? Miniseries is a slog.
The miniseries is a slog.
It's got lots of great bits in it. Most of them are
most of series,
James Olmos.
Most of series one is a bit of a slog, to be frank.
I like a lot of series one.
It gets better as it goes on.
Yeah, I think the Hand of Gods.
A couple of standout episodes. The one where Starbuck. One of my favourite moments of the series was when Starbuck was taking the Cylon Raider and like she was.
Yeah.
Oh, she had to. So that starts off with the training one.
Yeah.
With the Nuggets, as they call them. Because there's an accident on Galactica that kills half of their fighter pilots. Just in the hangar deck, where a missile just blows up, and there's a great scene in that where the chief, because what you have to remember from it is that there's only two veterans on the entire ship, which is Ty, which actually is he even a veteran? Do we even know that he's a veteran by the end of it? Spoilers, by the way, in case you want to watch this, because we are going to talk spoilers.
Yeah.
But ostensibly, Ty and Adama are the only people who've seen combat and the ship itself. The rest of them are all actually fresh, never actually seen it. And there's a bit where, after that explosion, where the chief is just stood in the corner and he's like, I've never lost anybody on my hangar deck before. And he's just sort of he's in a moment.
Yeah.
But that episode, so that's where Starbuck is training a bunch of new fighter pilots, including Cat, Hot Dog, Chuckles, I think is one of them. He doesn't last very long.
No, he doesn't.
And there's the lady whose name I don't remember. But Cat and Hot Dog are the ones that you will remember from that. And there's a bit at the end where it turns out that's where Adama finds out that she's the reason Zach is dead, which doesn't come up later on.
No,
never again.
But the son is dead, and he's like, and she's got PTSD from that. But anyway, she takes on 8 Cylon Raiders at the end of that, and then gets on a planet, and that's what you're talking about, where she hacks essentially a living machine, which is gross.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great. That was, honest to God, that was my first episode of it.
Yeah,
was the one where she was on the the moon.
The episode that I started to like get into it a little bit was the prison episode with.
That's like episode two. That is.
No, it was episode 5.
Oh.
What?
Oh.
No, the one where.
33.
He's counting the
Bastille Day episode 3.
Okay, it's like episode.
He's counting the mini
series. Miniseries isn't a part of series one, even though. But ignore the numbers on BBC.
iPlayer, yeah.
Because that's a fiction. Because they include Razor as well, so it gets confusing.
Razor. Out of your advice.
So you liked when Tom Zarek turned up. He's great. Richard Hatch, great actor. Yeah. Sadly missed.
So then, watch that. Liked that. And then series one. It was a bit running on a treadmill. Like the ending was cool.
My thing about series one,
I hated everything about Boomer and not Boomer.
Boomer and Hilo. Not Boomer. Yeah,
I felt that storyline was didn't go anywhere until like much later on. But yeah, I just didn't like it. I never felt the Centurions were that much of a threat.
I like that bit where they're in the cafe and the Centurion's just there, and then the toaster pops up and alerts them, and he's like, "Fuck it up!"
The Cylons started interesting me from Download onwards, I'd say.
Yeah, that is I can understand that.
Yeah,
but
as a set of characters, the Cylons were just there for me. And
my thing for series one is that it's a series. I think it's all planting and payoff for the fact that everything is just the victory in all of it is we have survived this. We've survived the water crisis. We've survived, or some of us have, not all of us. And then it comes back to gets up to the Hand of God, where they have the advantage for a minute, and the payoff of them winning in that, I think, it's like that moment, like, oh fuck, they've won.
you know, where it started to get into, like, I liked some of the characters. I just felt that some of them were just a bit like all over the place. Like Rosalind, for example, like his presidency was like, I was like, I hated her one minute, and then
she was a bad president. Yeah. I think she's a great emergency president because she brings the government back together.
Yeah,
but as a president, she's not very good.
Yeah, and I was feeling Adama was a bit one note for a while, and then
really,
yeah, I felt like he was a bit one note.
I like Adama.
It was a bit like he had one mode where it was just like, I'm stirring, and then I learned my lesson. And I stirred, and then I learned my lesson. And then it was a bit. And Apollo, I didn't like.
Apollo doesn't
really.
He doesn't really become a character until the end of series three.
Yeah.
At which point he becomes a great character, but he's just like, up until that point, he's like, he's just there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the hand of God, he has a moment.
Hated the episode Tie Me Down with Ginger.
Tie Me Up, Tie Me Down. Yeah, if you go back and listen, we both warned you about that.
We did.
Yeah,
we did.
Because it's just there.
I was just like, this isn't worth it.
The AV Club used to review two episodes at a time. Used to review two episodes at a time quite recently, like they were doing a watch through. And the two episodes at the time they did were Tie Me Up, Tie Me Down and The Hand of God. And the Tie Me Up, Tie Me Down one is a great review because the whole thing through it, they're like, I don't know why I'm here. I don't know why this is happening. And then like The Hand of God, it's like, this is the crucial part of the whole plot. It's a big moment where all the plot comes together, all that. And it's like the episode before, everybody's horny, everything's confusing. It's the first episode with Ellen in it.
Mr. Nice Guys.
No more Mr. Nice. No, that's a different episode though.
Oh, is it?
That's the one with the real. I think she's called Shelley Godfrey, but the one that's Caprica Six.
Yeah.
In Caprica Six.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is in itself a very weird episode. I will give you that.
Yeah, that was a very weird one as well. So series one, I sort of gave like a six out of ten. And I was like, there's a few good episodes in there, but if I hadn't had a bet, I probably wouldn't have carried on.
Yeah.
Series two started off a bit rough for me, and then because it was a bit like Adama just on the bed.
Yeah, but like, I think it was great. Like, it was great. Unfortunately, you just got to that part that Mason I'm pointing at when Michael Hogan had just had his accident, wasn't it? And it was that thing where actually it's such a Michael Hogan heavy few episodes.
Yeah.
When he's actually in command in the battles, he's great. But it's when he has time to shoulder it, or it's his wife as well.
Yeah,
that ruins his life for him.
Yeah,
I like. I don't know. I think series two starts off.
I didn't mind him, and then there's a few odd episodes like the Black Market.
That's crap.
Bizarre episode where Apollo had a wife that never gets mentioned.
Never gets mentioned before or since.
Before or since.
Who was pregnant as well?
Yeah, so you'd think that would affect the character a little bit more.
Nah. You think that would come up in conversation? To be honest,
you think that would just come up in general
with his old man?
Nah, not at all. There's a few things like that. Just sort of like I liked. Hilo and Thingy started to get a bit better in series two.
It's become a lot more interesting
when
they're on the ship. Hilo trying to sort of rebuild relationships on the ship.
I liked Kara meeting the Resistance. What's his name? Sam.
He's great.
I thought Sam was going to get forgotten for a while until the end of.
No, they come back for him. Which
yeah,
because
it felt like there was a big old gap between them. I was like thinking, have they just forgotten about that whole Sam?
He's cracking. Michael Trucco, is that his name?
Yeah,
something like that.
The Pegasus arc was fine. I liked that. It was interesting to throw a bit of a spanner in the works. It felt like an interesting element that just sort of like went.
Well, do you know what it is? Because I agree with you. It's because it is in the original series. In the original series, the Pegasus turns up, and it's actually the same ship as Galactica. Mm. Obviously, they just use the same model, but they just put Pegasus on it. And I think they just wanted to do. They were like, "We can be interesting," which they did for that arc, because it's a vastly superior warship. It's got an admiral in it. It can make Vipers. It's everything they want.
Yeah.
But then from that point on, they don't. After that arc, they don't know what to do with Pegasus.
No, they don't.
They have no idea what to do with this because they've accidentally given them. Because Galactica is interesting because it's old, it's falling apart, or more so towards the end it's falling apart, but it's an old museum that survived because it's a museum, and that gives it an interesting art. Whereas then they turn up with this top-of-the-line battleship that can do everything, and it's like, well, that's not as interesting, is it?
Whole Pegasus thing felt like to me, it was like one of those classic TV tropes where you got the sort of standard crew, and then you meet up with this is a sexy version of that crew, but they turn out to be arsehole versions of that crew.
That's the one thing, or one of the things you can take away from Razor, which is they have the same moment as in... They have the So Say We All moment, but the difference is she's demanding revenge.
Yeah.
We're going to take them. We're going to make them hurt. We're going to dedicate our lives to revenge. Whereas Adama is like, we dedicate our lives to getting away from this. But the So Say We All bit, which is still great in the miniseries. Mm. I love that whole bit where he just makes shit up to make his crew not kill themselves.
Yeah.
Which unfortunately comes back to bite him in the ass later on.
Yeah.
I
like that part, but yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, the Pegasus, I agree. As much as I look, I've got a big model of the Pegasus. The design I love of the Pegasus. I love that it's sci-fi because like, parts of it's upside down because gravity doesn't work that way in space. You can do what you want with it. But they just had this ridiculous, powerful warship that actually meant... Because the Cylon attacks stopped happening because there's no point because they'll just win all the time. Whereas back when it was one in Series 1, as much as you don't like it, it was one battered old ship that they were trying to train to be a proper thing, and they turn like 33. They turn up, batter it a bit. They run away, turn up, batter it. You know, that couldn't happen with Pegasus because they went, "Oh fuck, we've given them the god thing," which is why they had to get rid of it the way that they did, which is cool. Should we move on to Series 3?
Yeah. Well, so Series 2, I gave like a 6.57.
Yeah, that's interesting because I think it's much better. I think for the episode, my favorite episode is in Series 2. Which is Flight of the Phoenix.
Yeah.
Which is a good Hilo episode. It's a good, obviously it's dominated by Chief, but it's a good Adama episode because he has to learn to trust Athena, who's not called Athena yet. But it's a good Athena episode because she has to show her worth. It's all, again, it's a culmination of all the plot lines hitting each other.
Yeah, there's certain elements I like.
That pisses me off as well. And unfortunately, it's in a deleted scene later on. However, the fact that they build this... The Blackbird should have lasted till the end.
Yes.
It should have lasted. They should have built another one. Which, actually, there is a deleted scene, I believe, where they show a Blackbird in the background.
Oh, really?
So he's built another one.
Oh.
Someone told me once that there was a plan... I think there was a plan to have one on New Caprica... That he'd built one on New Caprica, and that's how they end up communicating with... Because that would be cool if they'd used it... instead, as much as I love the New Caprica arc's great, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But if he'd used the Blackbird to communicate with the fleet and there and back, and that's how they were able to do it... The Blackbird, for those, I don't know why you'd be listening to this part if you haven't watched it, but the stealth ship that they build. Because that whole episode I love because they're just, everybody gets involved in building this sort of
wreck of a ship. Completely forgotten about,
yeah. Yeah, well, it gets blown up in the episode after next.
Oh, yeah.
And then they go, right, well, that's that gone.
Yeah.
Because it's a beautiful, I love the design because it just looks like they just knocked it together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
that was a cool episode.
But yeah, Series 3.
Yeah, moved into the New Caprica arc, which was very interesting. I like that.
Yeah, yeah. That's the bit that I always say, but my dad at the time said was the bravest part because it was about an occupation of a land and the insurgents doing suicide bombings. But the insurgents were the good guys during the Iraq War. And my dad always used to say, I don't know how they're getting away with this. I don't know how they're getting away with portraying the bad guys as being the invaders, you know, in America as well.
Yeah. No, it was interesting. And I like that. Really came into it. A few more. We got more into the Cylons in Series 3 as well. We got Lucy Lawless, more prominent in that.
Yeah. Oh, she shows up in Series 2, doesn't she? First time.
She was a really good addition.
Always makes it better having Lucy Lawless in it.
Yes.
I liked, there was some really good episodes, like Scar was really
good. Scar's a great episode,
That's
the one of the rare times where they get to use Pegasus, because they bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
They go, well, the Pegasus can build new Vipers if we give them metal. And you go, sorry, is there anything it can't do with this ship?
The episode where they're trying to interrogate guys by drugging him and he goes into a hallucinogen.
That's one of my favourite episodes because of... One of my favourite characters is Donnelly Rhodes as Doc Cottle. Because he's actually always on the right side morally. Because like when they're in the Pegasus where they're two... Like Adama's trying to apologise that there was an attempted rape that happened. And he's in the background and goes, it was a fucking barbaric. you let this happen on your ship, you piece of shit. And then when they're torturing Gaius, and he's just like, I'm not having anything to do with this. This is, you pricks are doing this.
Yeah.
He's got a cigarette in his mouth.
So yeah,
great. Oh, he's always got a cigarette
like hanging on the bottom of his lip.
He's also the moral core. He's like a grumpy old granddad, but he's there going, I'm not taking part in this. And he's like, walks off.
Like another step.
I felt like the world building was done a lot better in Series 3. I don't know.
Yeah.
It took a massive leap up in quality for me. I gave it like an 8.
I would always maintain that only recently people have started deviating from this because The Expanse has had a few great battles in it. But I maintain there's not been a better space battle on television than the New Caprica. That's all of it. The fighting on the ground, throwing a battle star at a planet, the planes going through the hot dog where he goes, well, this will be different, and it gets fired through the re-entry thing. And then... he's surrounded, and then Pegasus. I was like watching it on a grainy TV.
Yeah.
The signal wasn't even that good when I was watching it as a kid. I was there going, "What is happening? This is so good." But yeah, the new Caprica arc is, it, for me, the high point of the entire series.
It was, yeah.
And then the fallout of the new Caprica arc maintains that.
Yeah, I thought it was good. And then we went into the end of Series 3, which is a really good finale.
Great finale. The courtroom drama with Mark Shepherd, because he had to turn up eventually, yeah. It being a sci-fi.
Yeah, the reveal of the final five, well, four of the final five. Yeah, that was really good.
That's a point I'm going to bring up in a minute, don't worry, when we get to the end of Series 4.
And then we get to Series 4.
Yeah.
Which is a rather mixed bag, let's put it that way. Where do we go with Series 4? Mason, what did you think of Series 4?
It's good up until things like after the mutiny. That's when it starts to go downhill.
Well, the mutiny, I'll put it another way. I'd say it's a mutiny is a peak that where it comes back. I think it dips, and then they find fate and Earth, then they, which is interesting. Yeah.
The first half of Series 4 is very running on treadmill.
It keeps going. It is a bit plodding.
Mm.
Having when I watched it at the time, week by week, I can assure you it was very plodding at the time too.
Yeah, it was just sort of like, okay, cool
stuff. How's happening. It going? There's cool concepts in it, about the fact they convert a sewage ship into an aircraft carrier, which is actually quite cool when you actually think about it. It's sort of a weird.
Yeah, yeah, and then there was stuff there to keep me watching it. It was just. Yeah, and then
what you said about the writer's strike, it really, you can see
you can delineate exactly when it happened.
Yeah,
you can tell because they're like sort of like, okay, we just need to hold on a little bit, so let's just plot a few episodes.
Yeah, it's,
and then we'll have to,
I feel like it's half a season's worth of story that's stretched over one season. Yeah, and they just sort of, I don't think I love where it, a lot of it, but it is a mess.
Yeah, and then we'll
get Starbuck's sort of painting on the wall while trying to find Earth. I was like, I can't be.
Yeah,
with
the
this.
Whole let's put a load of name characters on a ragtag garbage ship with Starbuck thinking while she's going a bit mental was a bit odd. And then Apollo finally found some meaning.
It's Apollo's best season, is unfortunate because the rest of it's a mess.
Can I revert back to Series 3, the mistake that they made of having Apollo and Starbuck having.
Oh, yeah, fuck that. Fuck that. Don't care about that at all. Series 3 as well. So to mention, I've mentioned it before, but one of my favourite episodes, The Passage, which is just really incredibly well written.
Mm.
One side character that they build up and then, you know, kill.
Yeah,
But Luciana, don't know how it's pronounced, but she's Caro, great actor. Does the it's Wrath of Khan. It's a better version of Wrath of Khan. Making this radiation sacrifice to save people, and then her conversation with Katie Sackhoff just goes strength to strength acting in Series 3 as well.
Yeah, she does. Yeah, she's really good.
The bit where she hands over the princess, there's enough there, obviously, to kill herself, and then he's like visibly holding back tears and walks off, and it's like, oh dear, Katie, where's this acting come from?
Yeah.
And then Adama having one of his great moments where he just sits with her until she dies.
That's a good episode.
I'm getting goosebumps.
Yeah, it's just that where he sits down, he gets his chair and she's like, "You're not going anywhere." He's like, "I'm not going anywhere." And he just sits there. And then the bit where they put her in charge.
Yeah.
For the last bit before she dies.
Colonel Ty, when you got rid of Ellen, was a much.
That scene where he kills her.
Yeah.
Is. One of the most heartbreaking things in the world.
Yeah, because I hated that character when she died. I was like, okay. And then they bring her back.
But they do, but she's better when she's back.
She's better when she's back. But yeah, she's a different character, to be fair.
She is. But the bit where, at the end of the new Caprica bit, where they get off the raptors, and Adama goes, "You did it, so you brought them home." And he goes, "Not all of them." And it's just, and then the camera pulls back. And it's just, Michael Hogan. Who I believe is doing better. He's doing better. I believe the money that is coming from fans and stuff is making him better. But he's a phenomenal actor, underrated.
He was really good.
I don't want to go past Series 3 without anything like that. The fact they they kill off the Pegasus in a fantastic way.
Yeah.
But they clearly went, we need to get rid of this incredibly powerful watch. Which people still get annoyed about because logically.
You get rid of
You'd get rid of Galactica and you'd move over. But the show's called Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
And the Galactica is a far more interesting ship. You don't want a ship that just is fine. You want something that's creaky. From the beginning, it's creaky. As they open the doors, it adds so much more character than. Because Pegasus was just like a Star Trek ship, really. Like, doors and.
You don't want the big flashy.
No, you want the thing.
You
can do
it all. You want it. You want. It gets you more involved and gripped into the story if a ship is.
The one with the supernova, which I always thought about when I was late for college, because the bit where it goes, it's going to be a photo finish.
Yeah.
But the bit where it gets hit with the shockwave just before it jumps, like the galactic is there, and then suddenly it keels and then it jumps, and then when it arrives, it's just fire everywhere. It's so much cooler that it's an old ship that went, fucking hell, we nearly died. You know? It's. Yeah. There's a reason they killed it. I think they were clearly trying to get rid of it from the, I think I don't know what Razor was, other than they had a few extra CG shots of Pegasus and needed to get rid of him.
I don't know.
It's probably just like a thing they needed to sell DVDs or something like that. That's probably.
It sort of ruins the fact a little bit, not entirely, only because I've thought about it for the last 10 years. But the. It ruins the fact that the reason Galactica survived was because it was hopelessly obsolete. Because it was a museum. Because they hadn't thought about the fact. It's essentially like if we went to war with someone now, sending out HMS Belfast with a Spitfire and winning that way. And then Pegasus survives because they go, oh, we just turned the computers off. It don't really give it that much. That, we turned the computers off, therefore we survive. Whereas Galactica is, no, they tried to attack us with viruses, and we don't even have the doors. You have to go like this to open them. Yeah. And the phone looks like Mason's shoe. You know?
Yeah.
It ruins that little bit. But anyway, sorry, serious thought. I'll say
Bear McCreary pulls a lot of the fucking
weight. He's phenomenal. Like, phenomenal.
He's pulling a lot of weight in that series. And then...
Serious Fall's a total mess.
Yeah, it's... I like the religious thing, but I don't think they went... into it enough. They didn't commit to it enough, and I feel like there's something that they could have done there. Like, you could have done the thing of like how religion's been misinterpreted over the years,
because they arrive at Earth that is the one that we are,
because they have all these mixed interpretations and stuff. Like, they have mixed cultures. They talk about Roman gods.
They split them across the planet, and you could all sort of argue that, but they didn't commit to it.
And it just sort of like went there, and then I get what he was going for with the whole, okay, let's strip all the technology and let's try it all again. But I feel like there's a bit of mixed messaging and like, wait, so you want to just try again, but you're not going to take any of the lessons that you, like, you learn. You're just going to do it again without any of, like,
you
could better it. Or you're just going to let it go naturally. If
they built up the Centurions more, like you said before, and actually had it where it was like, actually, the Centurions are leaving, as are some of the humans, to work together. They're going to live in peace together somewhere. But then some people are going to stay on this Earth, give up technology, and it was a bit of that...
Because
the Centurions are still gone. Yeah. And I actually like that, where it's them going, no, you find your own path now. You're not working for the human Cylons, you're not working for the humans. You are your own thing, do what you want. Which, as you say, if they built up the Centurions a bit more, rather than just going... Also, they can go.
Yeah.
You know.
It just felt like, oh, okay, the Centurions
are... I think the ending's a mess, but I love the storyline of the Galactica itself falling apart and it basically breaking Adama. Like, the bit where he has the breakdown, just sort of like the paint goes, you know, sorry, I'll just pull the microphone. And then the actual bit where the ship itself breaks, getting them to...
Yeah, is...
I liked... there's a few elements I liked about the finale. And then, it was an odd choice with Starbuck. But I get what they were going for with the angel, but it was interesting. It was a pigeon.
Interesting.
Like, she was a pigeon.
The pigeon thing, you're the only one who's ever picked up on that.
The pigeon thing.
I was just like, it's funny.
It's weird. That's the bit that I fast forward.
Yeah.
When I watch it back now, the finale, I will fast forward most of the flashbacks.
The bit where I was a bit like, oh, come off it. It was when Gaius and... Caprica 6 were like gods or like...
But that's not them. That's them, the people they were seeing.
Yeah.
At the end. The blonde and the Gaius are... The blonde is the one Gaius has been seeing from the beginning.
Yeah.
And the Gaius is the one the blonde has been seeing from the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
It's not actually Gaius. Their actual ending, where he harkens back to his dad and... Which I actually really like, the fact that it's... The reason he fell in love with her is not because she's... although it probably has something to do with it. The gorgeous blonde. It's because she sorted out his dad's.
Yeah.
It gave him a bit more humanity than just I'm fucking this blonde.
Yeah.
You know.
I felt some of the women got a shortchanged in the fourth series as well.
They did. You said that.
Oh, I did.
Yeah.
D.
D.
Callie.
Callie.
Uh, Who else did we... Oh, we mentioned a few.
Laura doesn't really do anything.
No.
Laura dies, and she doesn't really get much else.
Spoilers.
We're telling the old story. Starbuck.
Boomer, what happened with Boomer, like the Boomer version of Grace Park's
character. I don't know what that was about. Then I'm very aware that we're running low on time.
Yes. Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, that's fine.
But are you, I know Mason enjoyed the fact you watched it.
I'm glad I watched it. I'm glad I watched it, and it's not like a bad series. Not like I didn't like it. It's just like I wouldn't watch it again.
I'd like them,
and because of this bet, you were able to finish it. If we didn't have this bet, you would.
Let's put it this way: there's a lot of other series that I've been really interested to watch.
I would say the whole thing is worth it for the new Caprica arc.
Yeah.
And I think there's lots of great...
It was kind of like having it's kind of like you're watching something, you're like, it's nice, but then you're watching that. It's like that sexy, it's like that meme, isn't it? Like where you're like, you're walking with a girlfriend and you're distracted, the distracted boyfriend meme. And like,
it's I want to watch I thought Mason would like it more than you from the start. But I figured that you'd like, I thought you'd like it more than you do. I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah, well, I enjoyed it.
I stand by it. It's starting. It's only just for me now starting to show its age. And it's because I've been able to have the conversation.
Yeah.
And go, actually, these aspects don't make sense. The fact that they wrote in Pegasus, it's all well and good, but...
I think there's a lot to
admire. I mean, they should have really destroyed Pegasus at the end of that arc, I think, and then brought the crew over and the extra fighters and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Rather than just to paddle on.
There's a lot to admire about it, and I can see where its influences are and stuff like that. Obviously, like, you know, there's, like, that and... shows like that and Sopranos are the reason why we're in the golden age of TV.
It is. It's that Sopranos more or less kicked it off. Because Breaking Bad was Battlestar was finishing, so it was sort of it was overlap.
Breaking Bad was like just coming off like the end of like a Sopranos and Battlestar ended those sort of years, and then that allowed Breaking Bad to run. So they ran so that
they walked
so that Breaking Bad could run,
and then Game of Thrones, which fucked its ending as well.
Yeah, unfortunately,
and now we're in this age of TV where so much is good.
And they're rebooting Battlestar again, as they've been threatening to do for the last 10 years.
They've been doing that. They've been talking about that for
years. I'll watch it. Bloody hell! It's kicking off as
Norwich.
I would watch a reboot, and I've checked out some of the old stuff, and like
the original series is great. I love it. It's garbage, but also great.
Oh yeah, I want to make a note. I prefer the design of the old Centurions, but
I like them because they're silly. Do you mean the old ones, but in the modern context?
Yeah,
yeah. Like, if you ramp them up a little bit, like if you took that design and like what they did with Doctor Who and like the sock puppet Cybermen and just modern them up.
There's sort of a the chrome bullet shaped ones with the big shoulders. Mm-hmm. They're clearly of their era. They're of the early 2000s.
Yeah.
I think they're all right. I like that, especially later on
where
they've got the hand disappears and it's guns and like.
They're a cool look, but if you were showing me two sets of concept art and I was like thinking, okay, I want to honor the original a little bit more and. Just whilst I want to
sort of like, if I may, and I've mentioned this so many times, I think you already know the sort of. So you've got the 1960 Starship Enterprise. You've got the one from the JJ films.
Mm.
The one from Discovery that was about halfway between.
Yeah,
actually, because it referenced it enough that it was like it looks from the 60s, but looks like from now.
Yeah.
That sort of thing, where if it looked like the 70s one, but it didn't look cheap. Throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah.
I mean, I've shown you the pictures of them filming with it, where it's just cardboard cutouts, just moving them down there. Yeah. Mason, I know where time's going. The boarding episode, I thought that made them incredibly menicing.
In the
blackness, and then
I like that. I wanted more of that. Yeah. Because it's a 22 episode per season thing, so. It felt like that was like one of a.
I think you were right about an episode that would have humanised them, where it's like two of them, like a human and a Cylon, were trapped.
Well, I would have liked an episode where it was pure Cylon. That was like okay,
from the point of view of
so the start of like why they revolution and stuff like that, and like I think if you'd done more of that sort of stuff, I think have an episode because you have enough time to focus. If you can focus on a flipping episode where.
Do you know what it is?
Apollo's it's like discovering a black market.
Because as far as we're aware, and it's even with Caprica and with Blood and Chrome, all we know is just the Cylons just decided one day that they were going to start killing humans.
I want a bit more of that. Like,
I always liked in Mass Effect that the Geth, which is the same storyline but better written,
yeah,
but in terms of the Cylon part, the Geth are, when you go inside the Geth brain one in Mass Effect, and it turns out the war started because the Geth were trying to defend humans.
Yeah.
They were trying to defend protesters, yeah, and they weren't even firing back, they were just sort of blocking them, and then they got mown down, and they only picked up guns to defend themselves, and then they ended up winning, like, yeah, the, well, not like Cylons, but, and that whole aspect of it showing actually the Cylons were in the right, which they probably were, to be honest, because they were a slave race.
Yeah.
I just feel like more Cylon would have. Yeah.
If you're going to be a series that has that many episodes, I feel like you just need to know your enemy a bit more. But like,
I do. But that's what it is.
That's why I like episodes like Download and stuff like
Download's
that.
Download's great for it. But like the boarding one where they're boarding and no one knows what's going on. Yeah. But then Ty is like, they did this during the war.
Yeah.
And he like in that moment where Ty's like, they're going to go for here, here, and here. And it's that moment where all of them look at him like, oh, fuck, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Where does this come from?
Yeah. Also, it felt a very odd thing. Oh, sorry, one last point. I felt very odd to have like flashbacks and stuff like that in the finale.
In the finale, it was weird.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of the flashbacks were good. I think the Laura flashbacks were good.
Yeah, it really altered the pacing for me. I was like thinking that should be an episode in of itself. But yeah.
It made sense for Laura because it kept going between her flashbacks and her in a hospital bed. Yeah. So it's sort of like her reminiscing about her life. Whereas the stuff about Adama is a bit forced, but it did like the bit where he's like, I'd rather just die on an old battlestar.
And Apollo's brother for like the first time since mentioning in the fire. I was like, oh yeah.
I wonder if it was the same actor. I wonder if they phoned him up and went, hi, yeah, we forgot about you, but.
Yeah. I was like, hey, you remember we had that big old thing in the miniseries? Maybe we should try it.
It's because he died. Again, in the original series, Apollo and his brother are in the opening wave of the Cylon attack and his brother dies.
Yeah.
And it's a big moment between Apollo and his dad where it's like, it brings it home that their brother's dead.
Yeah.
Like he has a sister as well in the original series, and the sister's like beside herself because it's the '70s and woman must cry. The bits that were beholden to the original series, I think, is where it fell down. Like I say, as much as I adore the design of Pegasus, I've got a model of it. I think the Mercury class thing looks amazing. It is completely, it's like you give a gun. You know, if you get, it's like Superman. The whole Superman thing about him being too super in that Justice League is that once they have Superman, it's like, what's the point? We've won.
Yeah, it's
Once you have a Battlestar that has got indestructible, can make its own ships, is bigger and all this stuff, it's like, well, hang on, haven't we just won now? It's winning the game.
Yeah.
You know. Anyway, we should wrap up.
Yeah, I'm busting the boiler. So.
Recommendations?
Recommendations? Yeah.
Yeah. I will recommend Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Hey, good
the book, should I say.
Yeah.
Well, you can watch the film as well. The film does, we've said
this. I stand by the film. I think it's a shallower version of the book, but it was written by Adams to be that way. He wanted it to get you into the book.
It does a lot of things right. It has a good cast, especially...
Martin Freeman is perfect as
Martin Freeman is Arthur Dent, and... Alan Rickman as Marvin is just amazing.
I even think Stephen Fry as the guide is perfect.
Sam Rockwell as...
Come on.
What's his name?
Zaphod Beeble Brooks.
Yes. Yeah, it's a good fun film, but I reread the book and it was just...
It's so good.
It's the asides
in the book. The weird little, like about the guy who's leading the demolition of his house being the last living descendant of Genghis Khan.
Yeah.
Which has got nothing to do with anything. And he says he has a small bloodlust, but he doesn't know where it comes from. It's because he's a descendant of Genghis Khan.
So readable, so funny. Is it over like 45 years old now?
Oh, God, it must be getting on a bit.
Close to 50-year anniversary, I think.
Yeah.
They
hung in the sky in much the same way bricks don't. That's the one I remember.
it's just a good fun read.
It's so funny.
I recommend that. I haven't read any of the... sequel books.
I've never got through it. I was a child when I read Hitchhikers, and then I tried to read Restaurant at the End of the Universe, and I was on holiday at the time, so I think I just put it down and never came back to it. I think I could come back to it now. But it's good, and I like the film. I like the film. I say it. I stand by it. I think it's a mess. I think you didn't like Mos Def, really, did you? Whereas I love him. I think he was great. I love him in it.
It was
the bit where he's shaking hands with the car.
Of
the car.
There's a lot of good moments in that.
And I even think Zoe Deschanel's well cast because she's supposed to be the manic pixie dream girl that Arthur can't stop thinking about.
Yeah. It's just
And then all of the Jim Henson workshops. Of it. Do they have permission to enter hyperspace for this? Well, no, Commander. No. And they have to rubber stamp it. And he goes, throw them off the ship! No, great.
It's brilliant.
You got anything?
Yeah, my recommendation is a Kurosawa film called Ikaru. It's not one of his samurai action films. It's about a office worker who works for the government. He's a bureaucrat. His sort of job is basically stamping papers and stuff like that. He finds out one day that he's dying of cancer and he has only so little to live. And so he sort of basically searches for that lust for life and stuff like that. So he befriends a young girl and stuff like that and like tries to bring some of the joy that she feels in life to his life, so he figures it out and builds a playground. And then the whole film, like aftermath, is like about the people like figuring out where he got this zest for life from towards the end of his life. And it's sort of basically, it's a really interesting pointy film. It's from the 50s. I really liked it. It's,
cool.
Kurosawa.
So. And it's not a samurai film.
It's not a samurai film.
I've got an interesting, it's a positive negative thing, but I'm playing, I'll make this so that we haven't got a game section, so I'll sort of follow it into this. I'm currently it's on hiatus because I'm doing loads of uni work, but I've been playing Horizon Zero Dawn and I love it. I think it's great. I've really taken by it, actually. And as much as I think, no offence to Ashley Birch, I think she's great, but a lot of her roles are very whisper core sort of. Like in Last of Us, she was just mumbling away through that, Last of Us 2. Which is fine, that's probably the direction, but I'm enjoying it. I will not recommend, and I'm telling you to avoid until they've figured it out, the current update expansion to Elite Dangerous, which is called Odyssey, which is the one that allows you to walk around on planets, blah, blah. It's chuggy as hell, but it's, you know, things usually are when they come out like that. My main problem with it is the new lighting engine they put in it, which has made my beautiful, silly Ferrari red spaceship look. I mean, how would you describe it as a non-colourblind?
Yeah, Ferrari red.
That's well, the original, but how would you describe it now? Now that the new lighting
is it's
dull.
Like
Snyder Cut. It was like a Snyder Cut of Elite Dangerous. Red. And I didn't want to play it anymore.
Maroon, maroon. It was that dark. It was more the colour maroon, burgundy.
Is vibrant red is the name of the colour. And it has the blue lights that sort of set it off. And I'm colourblind, but it looks great.
Yeah.
And actually, I think they've made it all. They've sapped the joy out of it.
Exactly.
For me.
Yeah.
They've sapped the joy. It
looks like a completely different game.
Until they've fixed it, don't spend the amount of money that I spent on that expansion.
Yeah.
But Horizon, very good. I got a photo mode in it as well. You know how I love a photo mode.
You love a redhead with an arrow, don't you? This has been a roller coaster of a podcast. I have to say.
We got it done. Yeah. Now we can enjoy
that's actually
the
quite an
sunshine.
Honor. We've done, I would guess, about an hour and 40, I think we've done.
We've got 45 minutes to get to the escape room.
Awesome.
The challenge is on.
Right, well, this was at 36. take care of your families.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
It'll be me, Alex, Mason.
Yeah.
The big O in the corner.
The big O.
Who's going to wrap
the knight from the right. For the light, right?
Don't
light.
Fall, Ollie.
Right.
Give us more.
And get out of Iraq. Oh, yeah. Bush.
Something about why do we die?
Why are we in Iraq?
We didn't,
Bush.
We didn't read.
Yeah, man. Barack.
You didn't even get properly elected, Bush. We'll be right back.